guess I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is right in fair. I feel like traveling on. Oh, yes, I feel like traveling. I feel like traveling.
Bridges. We can't go back. We've got to go on. Look at somebody and say, let's just go on. Brother Terry, that's your claim to fame right there. I believe we'll just go on. You believe you'll just go on tonight. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Oh, let's give him a real good hand clap of praise if you love him tonight. Oh, the Lord has been so. Yes, I feel like traveling on until that blessed. Oh, I feel like traveling on. Sing it. Before you sit down tonight, why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord, tell them you're glad to see them in church on Saturday night. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Brother, play a little bit more of that if you will.
my heavenly home. It's bright and fair, traveling on.
Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. We've got a lot of prayer requests tonight. We're going to take the time to let you know about them. You can be seated for just a few minutes if you'd like to. Brother Randy Scott wants us to remember his wife, Rachel, in prayer tonight. Her neck is hurting her really, really badly, giving her a very bad headache. May God bless you and the saints, all you saints at Happy Valley. We just appreciate the Scotts. They'd give anything to be here. They can't be at this time, Brother Randy, Sister Rachel, but we just pray that they will be soon, that they can be back here in our assembly. Amen. I want to pray for Sister Karen Reagan tonight. She's sick, not feeling well. I want you to remember Yvonne Adams in prayer over in North Carolina, sick, not doing well at all. So we want to remember that prayer request tonight. Brother Robert Marrero's here with us tonight. Brother Robert, if you'd get ready to take us to the Lord in prayer, give Brother Robert a nice hand tonight. Praise the Lord. I want to remember Nadine Finch in prayer and her granddaughter, Harlan. They have both been under the weather. May God bless. So let's remember those folks tonight. An unspoken prayer request for a family member. Brother Carter Lawson sends that in. Let's remember that. Please pray for Bob Goulds as he is in the Sycamore Shoals Hospital, has been diagnosed with stage 4 stomach cancer. Thank you for your prayers in advance. So we certainly want to pray for the Goulds family, that the Lord would, Sister Barbara and all those that involved, just to pray that the Lord would be mindful of them. I want to remember Brother Jack Yance tonight, very sick in body. Let's pray for Brother Jack. There's a lot of flu and viruses, different things going around. Let's remember those needs tonight as we pray. Sister Deanna Glenn wants us to pray for Sister Brenda Harmon and her daughter Jaden Harmon. Brenda has laryngitis and Jaden has upper respiratory congestion and sick. So let's remember those tonight. I want to pray for my grandmother, Pat Jablonski, had a light heart attack, has been admitted to the hospital. A lot of decisions to be made concerning what to do for her as time goes by. So let's remember those needs tonight. I want to pray for Lewis and Linda Lawrence, his daughter Naomi. She has pneumonia and the flu, so let's pray for those needs. Brother Byron Palmer sends us in to please pray for Sister Jan Wallace of Marshallville, Georgia. Hospital last week with pneumonia. The doctors discovered she has very aggressive cancer. Also, about a month ago, her husband, Brother Dwight Wallace, was diagnosed with colon cancer, had surgery to remove part of his colon. They both need healing touch from the Lord. So let's remember those needs tonight as we pray. Sister Ruth Ward wants to thank the Lord. She went up for prayer, and the Lord has really blessed her with some good doctor's reports. All the tests came back negative, and she wants to thank the Lord for a good report. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. And just on a lighter side, Brother Calvin Ward celebrated his 92nd birthday this week. There's not a better man that walks in shoes than that man right there. Love Brother Calvin and Sister Ruth Ward, don't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to pray for the Swanson family. Brother David's mother passed away either early this morning, I guess it was. So let's remember those folks, that family in prayer, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. Brother Daniel had his trach changed on Thursday. It didn't go well. They went back to have the medicine changed, and he is doing better. He's so desirous to be in the house of the Lord and going to try to be here in the morning. So let's remember those folks as we pray. Sister Bonnie Potter, an urgent prayer request for her grandchildren in Iowa. So let's pray that the Lord would just be mindful and give them peace in that family. God's able to just work out all the problems, isn't he? I believe that this evening. Amen. I want to pray for Sister Estep's sister, who is in very bad shape. Her name is Norma Turner. Also, Sister Estep needs our prayers. So let's remember that tonight. I want to pray for Sister Peggy Kirkpatrick's son. They have to go back to court on Wednesday the 20th. They're having a lot of problems with the court. They really need the Lord to intervene on some situations. So let's remember that. Brenda Vasek called for prayer. I hope I got that name right, for her best friend who went into a coma on Thursday and has not come out of it. Also pray for her daughter-in-law who has cancer And the doctors have given her 6 months to live. Pray for her soul. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. I want to pray for Brother Randy Babb's grandchildren. They are both sick, needs healing. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight. We know there's many, many needs among us. Are you glad you're serving a God that still answers prayer? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Are we glad to see this guy right here? Praise the Lord. Brother Robert, God bless you, buddy. Praise the Lord. Amen. We sure love Brother Robert Marrero, don't we? God bless you, Brother Robert. Take us to the Lord, buddy.
You know, they left the back door open, and when you leave the back door open, anything comes in. They got surprised when they saw me back there. I said, well, you left the back door open. Anybody comes in. So the trustees need to do their job. Watch over that back door. Anyway, God bless you. I'm glad to be here tonight. I bring greetings from my church up in New York. They thought that it's a time for the pastor to walk out and give him a rest. and the pastor to rest of them too. And I also want to bring greetings from the saints there. And I want to thank the Reagan family. I want to thank Sister Carol, Brother Donnie, Sister Alicia and the girls, and Brother Scott. Their hospitality. They've been so great and so gracious and wonderful. I just love them. You have a real man of God here in this church. And you know, before I go to the Lord and pray, I don't want to take your time, but many people around the world would love to have the kind of pastor you folks have here. So make sure you love him. You don't criticize him. You love him. Because every minister, like I tell my church, every minister is human. And we all got weaknesses. Is that right? I got many to talk about. Anyway, let's take this to the Lord in prayer. Also, please remember me in prayer. I've been passing through very hard battles in my health since the last past 3 years. Brother Donnie told me on Thursday, Brother Robert, it looked like you need a body change. I'm waiting for my theophany. Amen. God bless you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, God, we're here tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, Father, that you died for us in Calvary so we could be healed, Father, and you came back and heal us, Lord God, and give us your Holy Ghost. Father, you saw the many unspoken prayer requests and the one that has been given here, Father. Father, may you reach and touch all those bodies, Father, tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks, Lord. May you heal them, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, we ask. Amen. God bless you, saints.
Thank you, Brother Robert. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate this guy right here, don't we? Amen. Love you, buddy. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, God is so good to us, church. He is so mindful of your situation, so mindful of our needs. We just love him so much, don't we? Do you just love him?
Amen.
Do you really just love him?
Yes, sir.
Amen. If he never does one more thing for us, he has done enough.
Amen.
But what I love about it, Brother Terry, what he did do, what he is now doing, and what we've got to look forward to, what's coming down the road. What a team we're on. What a team we're on. Are you glad to be on the winning team? Are you glad you're serving a winner tonight as a leader? Give him one more big hand clap of praise. Ushers, come tonight if you will. Praise the Lord. We'll never praise him enough. We'll never thank him enough. We'll never live for him too much. Boys, live for him every day of your life. Young girls, live for him every day of your life. Old people, let your... As Brother Matt Watkins so wonderfully preached last Sunday. It was Saturday and Sunday, but how will my race end? I want my race to end on a triumphant march into the kingdom of God. Don't you? You're not a survivor. You're not just got band-aids all over you. You're winners tonight. You are winners. Give him one more hand clap of praise. Amen. That sounds like home to me. That sounds like home to me. Let's sing that tonight. If you're visiting with us, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming, God bless our streamer. Sister Brenda, good to see you tonight. God bless you. Let's say it together. God bless our streamers. Give them a nice hand if you will. And that sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to feel our eyes again.
Tears will echo in the story as we
hallelujah.
Sing of His grace.
Sing it with all your heart tonight.
Where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me.
Sing that chorus again. And that sounds like home to me.
Like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to feel our eyes again. God will be. That sounds like home to me.
Say it, honey.
Somewhere just across
that
the Jordan River.
Sing about it.
There's a place of everlasting joy
and
crystal river flowing by the tree of life.
Think about it.
No more pain.
Think about it.
No disappointments ever come there. Oh, and Jesus Christ, our God, will be the light. That sounds like home to me.
Flowing by
a tree of life. No more pain.
No
grace and glory.
Oh, where the saints of God will be.
That sounds like my home.
Praise the Lord. Sister Sarah, come onto the platform and be getting ready to sing. Let's sing that song tonight. Everybody's plate is heaped up and running over with problems, situations, sickness, debts, family problems. Everybody's plate's full. Brother Sam, good to see you back tonight. God bless you. But I'm so thankful for this. And all that's going on, all the political lies that's being told, blaming this one and blaming that one, and this is right and that's wrong. I'm glad that we can be bold in Christ Jesus. We stand on a firm foundation, church. You're standing on a solid rock. Somebody say praise the Lord. Play a little bit of it. Let's sing, be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Do you believe it tonight? Do you believe it with all your heart? Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him. Play it, brothers. Hallelujah. Oh, there's victory in the house tonight. Somebody say there's victory in the house tonight. Oh, thank you, Lord. 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 Play it again, boys. Play it good. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, why don't we just give him some praise tonight in the house of God? Why don't you give him some praise tonight in the house of the Lord? Hallelujah. He's worthy. Oh, he is so worthy. He is so worthy tonight. Glory.
Walking faith and a victory.
Hallelujah.
Walking faith and a victory. For you know what? For the Lord thy God.
Run into the camp of the joy.
Oh, run into the camp. Tell everybody that you know you got it. You got it. Be ready. Oh, run into the camp. Tell everybody that you're ready. Get ready. Get ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? Yeah, are you ready? Are you ready? Yeah, saints, are you ready to take your land?
Oh,
for the Lord thy God is with thee. Run into the camp, tell everybody that you know. You gotta be ready. Run into the camp. Don't be slow and tell them that you gotta be ready now. Are you ready to take your land?
Thank you, Lord.
Are you ready to take your land? Are you ready to take your land? For the Lord's got your back, and you gotta know that He is with me. Coming back, you better get ready. Run to your neighbor's house. Tell them that she's over. You gotta be ready. Get ready. Oh, are you ready to take this land? Are you ready to take your land? Are you ready? Are you ready to take your land? For the Lord's got your back, and you gotta know that He is with.
Sir, I'll get you in the morning. God bless you, brother. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Glory.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, let's worship Him. He's worthy of it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How great you are, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Why wouldn't anybody want to praise and serve the Lord? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. Well, it's so nice to be in the First Baptist Church tonight. Well, believe it or not, the Baptists used to act this way. Methodist, right? They all did. A lot of the Message folks used to act this way. I hope it's never said about Happy Valley that that's the way we used to act. Praise the Lord. Whenever He moves, we want to act that way. That's right. Amen. God bless you. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Amen. Such a great privilege and honor for us to be gathered in His presence. I love it when He comes like that. You know, it's not the music that pulls it into that way. It's not Brother Louis that tries. And it would be so wrong for us to try to make that happen again in the morning or Wednesday night. We want it to happen when He sends it. Sovereignly. I don't mind telling you, I love it when He sends it too. God bless you. Let's turn to Psalms tonight, if you would. Psalms 110, verse 4. Praise the Lord. I know we're living in a very troubled world, and what we dealt with showing the need of the millennium and the conditions of the world and conditions of many of the people in the world. But tonight we'd like to go a different direction from that, a contrast of that. I don't know too much about the Lord, but I know enough about Him to know that sometimes whenever we're facing things and going through a lot of things, that God will actually send something contrasting to what we're going through to help divert our attention and get our attention from the sadness, the sorrow, the sickness, and whatever more that we're dealing with. And we know that there's certainly a lot of sickness that's going on. And Brother Dave Swanson, I think Brother Lloyd mentioned maybe already, Brother Dave's mother passing away, and I know there's great sorrow in that home and family during this time. We certainly want to remember them. But we would like to look tonight and resume on Psalms 110, which is one of the messianic psalms of the millennium, and to look at a contrast of this present world to the world we're going to. Let's read together. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of His wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Now let's read verse 6 and 7 again. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall wound the heads. Now this is Armageddon, of course. Wound the heads of over many countries. But this is on his way back from the battle. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Now, David is using a natural symbolism, which no doubt he did many, many times himself. Coming back from a great battle and fighting and fighting and just be so worn and exhausted. But to be able to find a brook, a stream of water, by which he would be able to be refreshed. And here he sets the coming of the Lord Jesus and the dawn of the millennium in a very similar structure. That after Jesus defeats the nations of the world, and David sets a symbolism again, that the Lord Jesus will come by a brook and get a drink of water before he sets up his kingdom. Let's bow our heads together. How many like to be remembered tonight before the Lord? God bless you, saints. Father, we love you so much tonight. Lord Jesus, you're our life. Lord, church to us is not just something that we do when we don't have any better place to go. We have no better place to go. Lord, this is the highlight of our lives, the Word of God. Coming together with your children, your people, being in your presence, this wonderful presence that we've already sensed in this place, Lord, what an awesome thing it is. Lord, now we ask you that you would help us tonight as we approach the Word. Father, we so long for this day to come. How our hearts are under such anticipation of what lays before us. Dear God, we know the world's in a state of terrible, terrible darkness. But yet, for the people of God, it is not an hour of darkness, it is shalom. And for that, we thank you. Father, we're not in the least trying to do away with the burdens and the troubles that people are dealing with, many sick and many dealing with various things in their bodies and their homes. We thank tonight of the Swanson family, Lord, and we ask for your mercy and grace to be with them, Lord Jesus. Dear God, others with various needs in their homes and in their lives, but we know that you're mindful. And Lord, I hold in my hand tonight a prayer call, Father, for Bob Gould's, Lord Jesus, Brother Larry Kiplinger's stepfather, and you see, Father God, what the doctors have told him, that he's in his body, fourth stage of stomach cancer. And they wanted us to pray over this prayer cloth tonight. Lord, you see where he's at spiritually. I know that he has a profession of being a Catholic, but Father, we know when we come to cross in that channel of death, a profession of Catholicism or even a profession of being a message believer won't do us any good. We've got to know you, Lord. So we're not here tonight to judge him, but we're just here, Father, to pray that you would help him. Lord, you can look down at the man's heart. You know where he is. And Lord, certainly, I'm sure that he wants to live. But Lord God, more importantly than that, I pray, Heavenly Father, if he's not at peace with you, may the Spirit of God be able to deal with him, Lord. Help him to see, Lord, the seriousness of this situation, I ask. Help me tonight, Lord, to be able to get out of the way, to submit myself to you, Father. We've gathered here for your divine glory. Meet with us, we pray now, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and tell them, it's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And go ahead and tell them, I'm looking for a good time.
It's good to be nice.
I'm looking for a good time, Brother Louis. I know it might seem detached. To some, it might seem that we live in a world that would seem very unrealistic because we have been so in touch with the supernatural that it makes us act odd and peculiar, and we think different in our minds. The structure of our homes, the structure of our lives, the structure of everything we do is so much different than the people who live by the structure of cosmos, because we're pulled between two spheres or two realms, and actually we are born from both, influenced by both, affected by both, and we love both. But yet we're becoming so detached to the natural one around us and more in love with that one which we cannot see, that no doubt people that would talk to us, the people that talk to you on your job, they would hear us preach and they'd think, that's some of the strangest people I've ever seen in my life. I cannot relate to them. I cannot totally understand them. I don't know where they're coming from. It's like they're here, but they're not here. They're here, but yet they're affected by another world. That's right. We are. And we make no apology of that tonight. But we're grateful for the mercy and the grace of God. And we know that that is because of the effect of our supernatural Master and Lord, which has so affected our life. We could not make ourselves this way. We would really have no desire to do so. To me, part, we'll look at it shortly, but part of the reason of the millennium and the ongoing purpose of the heathen to be able to live on the millennium on this earth during this time frame will be to be able to prove finally in the finality that it is not in the ability of man to make up his own mind that he wants to do something for God. Because some of them in the millennium will make up their mind they want to live for the Lord. They will accept the millennial headship. They will accept Christ Jesus as their king. And at the end of that, when Satan is loosed out of his prison, they will turn and go right toward him, and they will become submissive to the power of darkness. So man's decision on his own has never been enough. It will not be enough in the millennium itself. But man must be moved. Man must be motivated. Man must be touched by a supernatural power of God. Now, our Lord Jesus, in his coming to the earth, we know that there was a silence in his years on the earth, which is a mystery, really, when you look at it, from 12 to 33. We know that in that time, according to Luke 2:52, he grew with wisdom and understanding before God and man. And we know there was things that was no doubt happening. And we think God coming to the earth in the form of humanity, he would want to use every year, every week, every month of that short visit to the earth to be able to accomplish something, that there'd be more books written about his life. And he would have got the Holy Ghost when he was a 12-year-old boy. And, you know, the fullness of the attribute of God would have moved inside of him. So it goes to show that God don't think about things in the way that you and I think. Now, we think it would have been certainly much more value and much more use of his life if it started out with the fullness of the attribute of God, all the deity of God was in him as just a child. He could have done that, of course, but God did not want it done that way. So he waits till he's the age of a high priest, and then he enters into this office. And you'd think the greatest work that had ever been done on the earth was able to be accomplished in a short 3.5 years. So God does not necessarily need decades and decades and decades of a life to be able to accomplish such a great work. Even in that short span of 3.5 years on the earth, there was so much of the kingdom age of his life that he never talked about, he never displayed until the very end. Now his life, once you look back at what his life was and the way that he was setting up already the kingdom age, but in the form of the leadership of the Son of God. Now remember, he's going to come in three sons' names, that is Son of God, Son of David, of course, and he's going to come as Son of Man. He's going to, in the earthly visitation, it will be under the administration of the Son of Man. During the church ages, under the administration of Son of God. In the millennium, it will be under Son of David. And yet we would see a merging of those three when he was here in that earthly visitation. So, you know, they would ask, Son of David this, Son of David that. Well, if you had a dispensational claim as Son of David, you could get something from him. But the Gentiles tried that and it did not work because they did not have the dispensational title claim as Son of David. They only repeated what they heard somebody else say. But they didn't have a faith to be able to tap into the channel of God to release what they needed. So when Jesus was here, he was actually showing and displaying millennium attributes of the king, which will be displayed thousands of years later. In that he was able to minister to the Gentiles, which he will do in the millennium. He ministered to the poor, which he will do in the millennium. He will exalt the poor, and actually there will be no poor that will live on the earth in the time of the millennium. So he ministered to the downcast. So he's actually displaying attributes of the millennium king while he is here on the earth. It was not the rich. It was not the powerful. It was not the famous of that day that he actually ministered to. But it was those that was the downtrodden and the downcast, showing us his own attributes of the millennium, which he will do when he comes and sets the kingdom up. Notice now in St. John 17, 1, as he begins to show and tie together his sovereignty and his power, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now this was not said in St. John 3. It was not said in St. John 1, Matthew 1, Luke 5. It was not said in the early part of his ministry, but now the sovereignty of the King is now coming into clear view. At what time frame? At the very end of his ministry. Now remember, Judas is gone and Jesus has the elect apostles together. So he's giving forth his very power. Oh my, thank God for that. In the end time, it's exactly the same way. Notice in verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now notice he's identifying himself in the form of sonship, the only true God, that great light, that great ambient light of God, which it can only be approached to through the veil of the blood. And yet he says, this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now you imagine here he calls himself Jesus Christ. Now he's Jesus, he's Christos, so he is the anointed Jesus. And he said, this is eternal life, that they may know this union. Again, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Notice, this is not said in Matthew 3. This is not said in Matthew 5. This is not said in Mark 1 or 2. But at the end of his ministry, he's setting forth that who he really is, and that is the King. Now he goes to giving them an insight into the millennium kingdom, how that he's going to sit upon his throne. This was not said in the public, now in the public meetings. This was not said to everybody there, lest it would give away the mystery. Now remember, it could not be the flesh of the Lord Jesus that would reveal these mysteries to his apostles, but it must be the Father God, as he told Peter, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And Brother Branham catches that, and he said, Peter, he said, not even my flesh reveal that to you. Now you understand, if you and I would have lived in the days of the body of the Lord Jesus, that it would have not been his will that we would have understood the kingdom of God simply by hearing it from the voice of the Son of God, or hearing it through the body or the flesh, and we heard it over and over and over again, and finally we caught it in our psyche. But he would want it to be revealed to us by the Holy Ghost, because this is Christ's way of making himself known to the church. What is the new birth? It is the revelation of God revealed to you personally. No matter how many years you come to Happy Valley, you've got to be born again. The new birth is Christ revealed to you. Notice then, at the very end, he starts setting forth a coming kingdom age. Again, it says in verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. So again, he's setting forth the sovereignty now of his kingdom, identifying himself as a king by which the angels answer to. And the angels will actually divide the people of the races of humanity, and they will bring them before him. Now he does not say this until the very time of the end, when his ministry is fading out. I wonder then, friends, how close we are. If the Lord is wanting the bride to understand how close the rapture is, how we've got to get there, the millennium, I wonder if we're not moving closer and closer every week that we live on the earth. Now, notice again in Psalms 110, verse 5, the parallel of this: the Lord at thy right hand shall strike two kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. Now, remember, whenever we come to the sixth seal, that there would be millions of people that will be killed during the wrath and the judgment of God whenever the trumpets are finalized under the sixth seal. Now, remember, the sixth seal is an interruption of nature. So the tidal waves will come, the earthquakes will come, the sun will be released, an element of its ultraviolet rays and its power. There'll be all kinds of things that will happen in nature, and much of it is not even written in the book of Revelation, because it will be determined by the will of Moses and Elijah. So if Moses and Elijah deem that this part of Tennessee needs an earthquake, they'll get one. If they deem that another place needs a river to flood, they'll get one. Whatever happens, it will be at their disposal in order to mete out the judgment of God. But then it will all hit up, of course, in the battle of Armageddon. And there all the nations of the world will come against Israel, and God is allowing them to do so. Now, we know that that spirit is already in the world today, already in some of our politicians in America. They're already starting with their rhetoric against the Jews. Come on, saints, say amen. You know, we know that the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, there's folks on both sides, and some of them like the Jews and some of them don't. But as long as America stands with the Jews, and she has the blessing of God on her. But one day she will turn against them, and when she does, the wrath of God will be meted out to this nation and every other nation. So it doesn't matter whether you're Democrat or Republican, as far as I'm concerned. What we want to be identified is that we're a Christian. We're children of God. So we're not looking so much, well, what is the Congress saying? What's this saying? We're looking to what the Word says. And we're going to stand identified with Israel. It makes no difference what the Congress does or what the Senate does. We're going to be identified because God told Abraham, them that bless you, I'll bless them. Them that curse you, I'll curse them. So we know that this must come upon the earth again in the last days. And when the bride goes up, then the mercy of God is cut off to the Gentiles. The 144,000 will come, and they'll get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They'll get born again. They'll get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then all hell will set loose against them and against Moses and Elijah. And when it does, then this thing against the Jews will start in such a thing like it's never been before. All the nations of the world, then at the end of the tribulation period, we'll gather together. Amen. Notice now, and also in Joel chapter 3, verse 9, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. But now notice, before you're going to move into this, assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about thither. Cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge the heathen all round about. God's going to gather them together. Now remember, this is the Valley of Megiddo. It's also called the place of Armageddon. It's also called the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Several great battles down through the history of Israel. We stood there back last year. It's an absolute wonderful place just looking at it. You can see geographically, topography, how that it would be a place for all them to be able to gather together. And there God will actually drive all the nations of the world, and they will come together. Now notice what will happen. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full, the fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Now here it is, the accumulation of thousands of years of sin. All the armies of the world will someday gather, as the song tells us, and there they will gather in the valley of Jehoshaphat, and through that the vats shall be overflow, the wrath of God. Notice he goes on to say, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley. valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. Now when they gathered together, all the armies of the earth gathered together, then the Lord Jesus and his bride will come out of heaven on white horses. And yes, it will be a power. Will it be a literal white horse? Well, it certainly sounds like to me that it will be. I know there's some among us that think it's already happened. They think the millennium's already happened. But I'm not going to really preach to them tonight. I'm going to preach to the believers. That's right. Them folks need help. They need it bad. But we believe there is a millennium. We believe there is a literal Jesus Christ. And we believe he's going to come out of heaven on a white horse, and the armies of God are going to come with him. Now notice the great beckoning call of our Lord as he will roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. Now notice the culmination of all this judgment. So it will go into this final phase of the final earthquake, the largest that the earth has ever known. It will culminate all these earthquakes under the sixth seal, under the wrath of God, and there will be one after another, mountains will be brought down, they will tumble into the sea, but there will be one final earthquake at the end of the millennium. By this time, remember, America will be annihilated, West Coast done broke off, the bombs already fallen, nothing but smoldering ashes, that will already be gone. But now we're talking about the very last day of the tribulation period. Oh my God, hasten the day. The very last day of the tribulation period. Satan has been able to build the temple of God, so called. He moved in the temple of God. He was able to be worshipped by the people of the age, and they will crown him. They will absolutely worship the devil in this vicar of Christ, and then Satan himself will enter into this body, and now the time is at hand. All the armies will gather together, and on the very last day of the tribulation period. Boy, I'd like to stay there for a while. The very last day of the tribulation period. The 3.5 years are finished, and the very last day of the tribulation period will arrive. And when it does, all the armies will gather together, and the Lord Jesus will descend from heaven with all the armies of heaven behind him. Praise God. And when he sets his feet upon the Mount of Olives, there will come an earthquake that will be so severe, and the scripture tells us it was like none that had ever been on the face of the earth before. What is it? The parting of the Mount of Olives. Getting ready for the river of life to flow out from under the tabernacle. Some toward the hinder sea and some toward the former sea. What is it? It is the dawn of the millennium, when all sickness will be gone. All murder will be gone. All destruction will be gone. Hallelujah! When King Jesus comes back to earth again. What is it? The honeymoon. Oh, thank you, Lord. Notice in verse 17, so shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall be no more strangers pass through her anymore. Zechariah 14:1, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. One hotel chain after another has wanted to build 5-star hotels, resorts, and all kinds of things on the Mount of Olives. But there's one thing that deters them. a great fault which runs right down through the middle of the Mount of Olives. So unless you wake up in your 5-star hotel and your room's like this, praise be to God. Notice the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. Isn't it amazing? Not the north and the south. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north. Divides east, west, sends it in all 4 directions. Half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains. From the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Aziel. Yea, ye shall flee like as you fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. Praise God. He ain't bringing angels to fight this time. He's bringing bride. Glory be to God. Revelation 19:11. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew, oh my, but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Saddle up, saints. Here we go. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Hallelujah. What are we doing? We're coming down to take over this earth. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite who? The nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath, listen to this, on his vesture and on his thigh a name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise be to God. So you imagine him. Every Gentile king, the army of Syria, the army of Iraq, the army of Iran, all the army of all the nations of the earth will gather. He will slay them all. Amen. Then David, in his poetic language, in verse 7 says, he shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Praise be to God. Notice Zechariah 8:2. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy. I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem, listen to this, shall be called a city. Praise be to God. Well, guess who the inhabitants of Jerusalem is going to be? It ain't going to be liars. Amen. Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth. Now, this is God saying, I will dwell in Jerusalem. I will come back. This is after Ezekiel in his vision saw the glory of God when he was on the river Chebar, and when the man come to him dressed in bronze garments, clothing, and he looked at him and he showed him the glory of God as it departed and went over from the north side, and it left the altar. It went outside the tabernacle door. This is before it was destroyed by the Babylonians. He sees the glory of God depart. This is several years Zechariah now prophesying and saying, but as I have left, I will come back. Remember, the same prophet Ezekiel that saw the glory of God leave is the same prophet of God that saw it come back in chapter 46. So here God is saying, I'm going to take up my residence in Jerusalem again. I've had to leave because of your sin. I've had to leave because of your rebellion and unbelief. But I'm going to let you know I'm moving back in my house. Praise God, I'm moving back in. I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Once more, I fix my residence. Me and my wife. In Jerusalem. Woo! Glory! Her citizens are children of truth. Her residents are residents of truth. They love truth more than they love life itself. So the people of truth will live in the city of truth because their God is the God of truth and their seed of truth. It's your identity. I'm not talking about a make-believe. I'm not talking about some fictitious hope of something. But this is your identity from in the millennium. Remember, the millennium is the merging together of that which happens in time to that which unfolds in eternity. The millennium is the hinge between that which went on in the 6,000 years of man existence upon the earth and through the 2,000 years of the church ages, when much of the kingdom of God was spiritual. It was spiritual, spiritual types, spiritual symbols. But the millennium is the beginning of merging the spiritual with the natural as it comes together on the earth. The kingdom of God is within you, but in the millennium it will be upon the earth literally. Praise be to God. Her citizens love truth. They speak truth. They honor truth. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Hey, him and his bride ain't going to live in the same old place. It ain't going to be fit to live in time he gets done. It's going to be blown all to pieces. But he's building a new place for his sweetheart. Now remember the millennium. There's much of what's in the millennium that fades right on in to the eighth day. Yeah, but I'm not sure you've been reading along with me in Isaiah 65 and Isaiah 66. And it seems to be hard sometimes, Micah 4, I got to, it seems to be hard and difficult to differentiate between the millennium and the eighth day. God did that on purpose because the millennium is starting to embrace part of the natural kingdom, which was supernatural in the church ages, and is starting to take tangibility in the millennium. And much of it will merge right on over into the eighth day. It will be a natural city. Amen. It will be actual gold. It will be pearls. It will be natural people. It's not a supernatural city, friends. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Notice Isaiah chapter 1, verse 26. And I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors at the beginning. Afterward, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Truth embraces everything opposite to untruth. Faithfulness is the exact opposite of faithlessness. So what is this city taking on the nature of the king and the king's wife? So the king said when he was here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the name of the city is going to be the city of truth. And his wife is children of truth. Glory! Notice Isaiah 127, Zion shall be redeemed with judgment and her converts with righteousness. Isaiah 56:7, even them will I bring to my holy mountain. Notice God isn't saying mountains as in plural. Because the geography of Israel and the rest of the earth will be changed.
So the topography of the planet will come into a similar state the way it was in the beginning. And it will begin to look more like the eighth day than it does like the sixth. As you begin to look more like the Word, the prophet said, it come from Luther to Wesley to Pentecost, and the children begin to look more like him and less like her. The millennium will, amen, the millennium will start bearing the image of the eighth day and look more like Eden than it does like Johnson City. Or Elizabethan, or New York, or Manhattan, or wherever more. Why? Because it's the hinge between the element of time to where it's pulled back up into the loop in eternity again. So the topography of the planet starts to change. And it starts to look more like the eighth day. I wish somebody preached it tonight. It starts looking more like the eighth day than the sixth day, because the seventh brings it together.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Notice Isaiah 57:13. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee. But the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain.
Notice again, singular.
Ezekiel 40, verse 2. In the visions of God brought he me into the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain, by which was as the frame of a city on the south. So now remember, Ezekiel is carried into the millennium. And from where he was at, wherever God brought him in the fourth dimension, which is where prophets see their visions, wherever it was that he started out, say it this way, that he was out in the fourth dimension somewhere in that realm, and it's like he starts moving, and he's moving in the fourth dimension, and the Spirit brings him, and he begins to look, and he recognizes the land of Israel. This might be a very peculiar thing, since this prophet never flew in an airplane. He never took a helicopter ride in his life, and yet he's above this land, but he recognizes something about the land. Was it the rivers? Was it the trees? What was it? I don't know what it was, but there was something about it that he became enlightened, and he recognized, I'm in the land of Israel. I'm above the land of Israel. And when he come up, he looks around, he said, where's all the mountains at? Where's all the seven hills around Jerusalem? Where are they all gone? Where are they all at? But he just said, I just saw one mountain. Now this is after the tribulation period. This is after the earthquake. Glory be to God. This is after the earthquakes. This is after the expanse of the Mediterranean has been moved over wide enough in order for the city temple to be built in Jerusalem. Woo! Praise God. Set me upon a very high mountain, by which was as the frame of a city on the south. Joel 3:17. So that ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall be no strangers pass through her anymore. Notice Jerusalem now not sitting on seven hills, not even hills, but a mountain. A mountain. Praise God. Can I go on? Now notice Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now, in prophetic terminology, you don't know how accurate this is unless you've broke this down. But do you realize that whenever Isaiah was speaking of this, the seed of David was still physically upon the earth. Maybe he and the other people of Israel would not know it would be centuries before David would ever have another man that would sit upon the throne. It looked as if though the seed of David was annihilated when the last king of Judah was taken out and packed away, and the devil probably thought, ha ha, got him now. All these prophecies about David this and David that, and it looked like it was eat off
at the top of the ground. It was just a stump. So the lineage of David was just like a stump. Now notice the word that God said, out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Everything by this stage of the prophecy, by the time Isaiah prophesied, every visible sign of the Davidic reign, of the Davidic scene coming through the royal line was totally gone. Every bit of it. There was not even a stump left above the ground. It had entered the faith cycle. Glory to God. It had entered the faith cycle when there was nothing physically you could see on top of the earth. But the word of the Lord said, from the roots. It reminds me of Joel 2, what the canker worm is eating, what the palmer worm is eating. The prophet said he ate it right down to the roots, but God said, I will restore, saith the Lord. Amen. So the tree was cut down. The stump was gone. And you look out at it, and there was nothing there as far as the eye could see. But the word said, from the roots will come a stem, a branch. The devil looked, no doubt, at the darkness of Catholicism and thought, I've got this whole thing sewed up. I've messed up the church of the living God so bad it'll never come out of that. But God said, I will restore, saith the Lord. He looked at Lutheranism and it looked like, my goodness, what a mess it had made after years of the Reformation. Methodism the same way, Pentecostalism the same way. Well, let's bring it on down. And it's becoming messageism the same way. We got so many doctrines. We got people fussing and fighting. The emphasis is not Christ Jesus. It's how big we are, how important we are. Come on, church. And the devil said, boy, I've got them right back where I had them in the beginning. Guess again, devil. God has got a seed that you'll never be able to get. God said, he'll have a bride, and he'll have a bride because he's God. Amen. Hallelujah. Notice this. The source of the king's power is revealed in a sevenfold manifestation of the Spirit. Watch this in verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Now notice, so all of these attributes, this are going to be the attributes by which the kingdom will be established. How contrasting it is to the day we're living, when it's built upon lies, it's built upon deceit. Brother Philip Elliott, I don't guess your mind's just saying, he sent me a thing this week about how that they're becoming so concerned about cigarettes and making them more safe because they're trashing, you know, the cigarette butts and things are trashing on the sides of the road. So they're going to start making the filters on the cigarettes where they're biodegradable, better for the environment. And they're going to put little seeds inside of it, so whenever people throw them out of their window and then that little seed lands on the side of the road, then out of them, the filter of the cigarette will start coming up little tiny plants. Isn't that nice? Isn't that so thoughtful? Isn't that like a bunch of ignoramus tree huggers? So you save the planet but kill every person on it. Well, it's going to do a lot of good. We got a real healthy planet, but there ain't nobody here to live on. I like the devil. And probably some people say, well, my, that's the greatest idea. Oh, my, they're showing the thinking man on the other side of that filter. But notice the character of the reign of Jesus. Satan's reign is built upon lies, on deceit. It's built upon adultery, fornication. It's built upon the access of the things of the world. But notice the character of the millennial king. He shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. So why are you talking about Trump there, is he? Now some of you Democrats laughed. He wasn't talking about Obama either.
quality of the kingdom. Verse 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. So we've got one kind that generally eats the other kind, and they're playing. Under Satan's kingdom, those of the same kind can't even get along. Praise the Lord. Humans can't even get along. The blacks against the whites against the blacks, the Hispanics against this, the American Indian against that. Why? That's the characteristics of the devil's kingdom. In the millennium, there'll not be one racist. Praise God. They won't have black power, white power. They'll have Holy Ghost power. There'll be no ghettos in the millennium. Amen. There'll be no little swollen bellies of little children, because the Prince of Peace will come. The earth will break into the cycle of prosperity the way it was in the Garden of Eden, and the sun will be 7 times hotter than it is right now. Praise be to God. And the earth will break into the power of fruition as the way it was that God intended for it to be in the beginning. Isaiah 65:25. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion. Now, can you imagine going to the Atlanta Zoo and showing it, throwing a big African lion a bale of straw now? He'd rather have you than the toothpicks later. You don't want that. Use a straw for toothpicks. That's a good one, wasn't it? Praise the Lord. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. What? The lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's. Lord, don't tell me there's going to be snakes there. They shall not hurt nor destroy. And all my holy. Wonder where the Himalayas are. Wonder where the Rockies are. Appalachians. The Alps. Ezekiel 34:25. I will make them a covenant of peace. And I will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land. And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Well, you just get out, you know, you're 340 miles or whatever, 1,000 miles over on the earth. God sent you somewhere on a mission somewhere on another continent, and you just want, you're not tired, but you just want to take a nap. You just lay right down in the woods. I mean, you just lay right down, and there's all kinds of animals around you, and then you wake up, and my goodness, there's a tiger, there's a lion, there's a jaguar, there's all kinds of things laying around you. All of you did. Why? There's no fear. There's no evil animals. They're all gone. They're all gone. Oh, praise God. Hosea 2:18, in that day will I make a covenant with them, with the beasts of the field. You imagine Almighty God making a covenant with the animals. And with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground. Bugs. Bugs. And those sisters, you thought there wasn't going to be none there, but there will be. The spiders, cockroaches, all that sort of thing. I mean, who knows? Oh, man. Don't worry, we'll all be changed. We'll all blend together as they are. Creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and battle the earth and will make them lie down safely. Isaiah 11:7, and the cow and the bear shall feed. They're young ones. Notice here in this earth, in the millennium, they're still giving birth. The animals are still in the cycle of reproduction. Glory to God. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. Animals by nature, which do not go together now, will go together then.
So your bear skin will be changed and you'll get along with that lion skin brother that you don't like now. Come on to Happy Valley. Don't sit there and look at me like a bunch of angels. Don't sit there and look at me and act like you love everybody and you love everybody's way. That's not the truth. We don't do it. Some of you don't even love your wife. That's right. What is it about us? It's that animal part of us that still needs to be changed. We clash. That's why we have issues in church, and sometimes you do, between born-again people, because the human part still clashes. But one day we'll have a body, amen, that matches our soul. The bear will look at the cow and no longer consider it. Wow, look at that steak. But he'll look at him and say, "We'll go eat grass together. Let's go over and have lunch. And no, you're not lunch. I'm changed." Praise God. Woo! Oh, glory to God. Notice, what you said, that's impossible, Brother Donnie. It's not impossible. That's the way they were in the beginning. Genesis 1:29, and God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, and which is the fruit of the tree-bearing yield, tree-yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, sustenance, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl." Amen. No birds ate bugs. No birds picked up little animals before the fall. No birds ate ants. They didn't eat each other. All the birds were herbivores. The lion, the jaguar, the tiger, herbivores. You think you're so big and powerful? Won't you make one of them a herbivore today, you liar? Because he ain't got the power to do it. All he can do is make them meaner. He can't make them gooder. God's the only one that can make them gooder. He's the only one that make you gooder, see? Notice, every beast of the earth and to every fowl of the earth, to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I've given every green herb for me. Because you imagine? Every plant tasted like a Sunday. Or a steak, or, you know, broccoli might have even tasted good then. I don't know. I mean, that's what it is. Broccoli tasted good in the original, it fell. Oh, Brother Donnie, don't you believe in eating things off the trees? I do. I love the cocoa tree. So it makes chocolate a vegetable, right? Can you imagine everything that God placed upon the earth? There was food all around you. You didn't have to travel and go from one spot to another and migrate. There was no need of it, because everywhere you looked, it was food. So the birds would fly from one tree to another, and whenever they'd get done, there was no damage to the tree. They'd eat and eat, and they'd fly over here, and they'd fly over there, and they'd go over here, and you'd never know where they were, because everything, the sun was so bright, and the moisture was perfect, and the temperature, remember, the earth was about the same all the way around, and the earth was standing straight up and down like this, and it would grow back overnight. Can you imagine? They'd clip it off that day, and by the next morning, it ought to be on its way back to where it was before. And another bird would come through and pick it up by the end of the week. You never know what was there. And all the low animals. So God had different heights from different animals according to the size of their legs and their necks. So that all different levels there was food. Lord, Judah, I'm not talking about a dream tonight. I'm talking about a place we're going back to. Notice Isaiah 11:8. "And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp." Children being born in the millennium. Amen. "And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den." Lord have mercy. This venomous serpent. Notice how he said, "The sucking child shall play, delight himself." As children do in a sandbox. Like taking a doll or a Tonka toy or whatever, and here's the hole of this asp.
which if bites you, you have 30 to 45 seconds before that system goes to hitting your heart, causing your blood to clot, your vision to blur. Within a matter of moments, you're dead. But in the millennium, his poison's gone. I'm not sure if God pulls his teeth. I don't know what in the world it'll be. But he won't be harmful. And then Isaiah graduates and it goes from a sucking child. This is just one that said sucking its mother and it's down on its knees. A weak little guy. And then you've got, he goes and graduates and says, and the weaned child, which is one a little bit bigger. And he himself, the weaned child, will play on the cockatrice den, which is the adder. More venomous even than the asp. But in the millennium, that mesmerizing thing about serpents that we stand there and look at them and think, I wish I had a hoe. What I could do with rat shot on that thing. I mean, that thing is so beautiful. I was at Brother Tim Pruitt's house many, many years ago, and he went out in the back, and he was out there showing me his goats and this and that and the other. He said, I killed a copperhead out there the other day. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I cut him up and said, may you rest in pieces. So how many of y'all try to dodge one on the road? Don't raise your hands, please. We've got a few animal lovers that, you know, the screaming services on them. But think of it. There'll be no poison snake. There'll be nothing that can hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Oh, I wish we could go now. Let me go a little bit farther. Notice this in verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy. Can you imagine a time when the earth itself will be so loosed from injustice? Nobody will ever be able to hurt another person. Not just physically now. They'll not hurt their reputation. They'll never be able to hurt their honor. They'll never be able to wound them and lose their trust. Look at the word hurt, how vast it is. It's not just talking about people that'll be killing one another. There will be no hurt.
Amen.
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 Only my Lord Jesus can orchestrate such a kingdom. They will not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. No hurt of any kind. No unkind deeds. No words that are chosen from one to another to cut each other. Nobody will ever say, friend, you're talking about heaven.
Amen.
Nobody will ever lose their temper. Nobody will ever, I'll tell you why I'm giving you a piece of my mind. There won't be nobody there like that. Nobody will ever lose their temper. Nobody will ever hurt another by words or by insinuation. What a world. Can't you see what he's going to do? Can't you see how he's proving his greatness by reversing everything the devil has done in time? Look at what he's done. He's turned this place into a place full of wrath and hatred and variance. Nations at war, races at war, people at war, churches at war, family members at war. Everywhere we turn, there's hatred and violence. Jesus says, just be faithful. I'm fixing to introduce a kingdom where nobody will ever hurt anybody else in any way. No unkind words will ever be spoken. Nobody will ever offend intentionally or non-intentionally another person. This is his word. How would he do it, Brother Donnie? It's up to him to do it. Praise God. You imagine just everybody, you say, oh, brother, how you doing? Not one ounce of hypocrisy. Brother, God bless you. How you doing, Brother Jared? Then get away from him. I never did like him. Sorry outfit. What can you expect? Nope, won't be none of that there. Every smile will be genuine. All expressions of love will be genuine. No one will hurt nobody else. There'll never be a husband and a wife ever arguing there. Amen. There'll never be the teenage rebellion. And this is one thing to me why God will allow humans to be born upon the earth. He will defy everything that Satan has done through his sociology, through his science, through his climatology, everything that he's done on the earth. The Lord Jesus will prove to the devil what you couldn't do, I did. You never. Let me tell you something, friend. The devil has never had a time on the earth what he could honestly say, everybody on the earth serves me. Everybody on the earth bows to my headship. God has always had somebody. If it wasn't but one, if it wasn't but three, if it wasn't but 1,000, God's always had somebody that would defy the kingdom of hell. But in the millennium, the Lord Jesus will say, everybody on the face of this earth serves me. Everybody on the face of this earth honors my word, obeys my word. Take thy devil.
Can you imagine? It's like the whole earth will be filled with a measure of Christianity. And yet there will be government. Right? It will be the government of the Son of David. There will be government. There will be magistrates. There will be vice regents. There will be different positions. Never any money under the table. I'm not sure there'll even be anything I'll call money. If it is, it'll be sanctified money. And there won't be no love of it there either. Notice Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What a peculiar way to say that. As the waters cover the sea. You imagine the glory of the Lord. Notice how he said, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Now it's not just all revelation, but it will be knowledge. The whole earth from one end to the other, from one continent to the other. Now, if the land masses are bridged together, joined together in the great massive continent that was in the very beginning, who knows exactly what it'll be. But we know from all the continents of the earth, people will come up at the Feast of Tabernacles to worship the Lord. How they'll travel, I don't have a clue. But they will be there. And the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Notice he doesn't say the knowledge of the word of the Lord. But the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, which of course means the revealing of the word, because the revealing of the word is what expresses the glory of God. So the knowledge of the Lord, the glory of the Lord will cover, there won't be one inch of the earth, not one inch where a mortal lives, that they will not know about God's glory. I'd say that stuff makes him madder than a hornet, wouldn't you? Amen. I'll tell you what, the earth ain't never been full of the evil of the devil. The earth ain't never been full with all his wrath and this and other, because God's always had somebody that said, I ain't doing it. I ain't going that way. Let me close. Isaiah 11:10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Notice how the kingdom now will be set up. Isaiah 11:11. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pethros, from Cush, from Eliam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. So the Messiah will stand in Jerusalem, an ensign as a banner or a flag. So you knew which side you was on.
In the heat of the battle, you might get confused about where you at and where you are. And you know, am I on this side or that side? Oh my, all this is going on. So what they do, they have the colors flying. So you know it's in the 4th Massachusetts or you're in the 6th Virginia Infantry, whatever more. So you was identified with that flag. So the ensign was raised up to know whose side you was on and where you was at in the battle. So God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. It ain't going to be the 6-point star of David. It's going to be the seed of David. Amen. You ain't going to need no material cause. You ain't going to need no material flag. I'm going to raise the man himself. I'm going to raise the very, amen, the very seed of David, the son of David. I will set him up on a flagpole as it was, and the nations of the earth will gather around him. He will be the ensign. Praise be to God. Let's stand together. Verse 12, and he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and they shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. And if he's going to do that for them, he'll do it for Donnie and Joe and Jack and Jim and Carol and Bess and Barbara, and there won't be no jealousy. Amen. I'll tell you one thing, that'd be quite a heaven right there. Amen. Nobody jealous of another, no preachers jealous of one another, no singers jealous of one another, no musicians. Amen. Oh, I got to read you just one more. And in that day shalt thou say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. I guarantee you one thing, not only can Israel say that, not only can the bride say that, but if the earth could talk, the earth could say the same thing. Oh God, you struck me with wrath and antediluvian destruction. God, you struck me with wrath and the atomic bombs. God, you struck me, but now I found your favor again. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name, declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord. For he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Brother Timothy Pruitt sent an article today on the minister's chat that I'm a part of from one of the media, news media, saying the churches were losing membership so fast and unable to be able to pay their bills and all that. So churches have started renting and leasing out Sunday school rooms and this and that and the other during the week to all kinds of yoga and, you know, all kinds of different deals in order to keep their doors open. When we do that, we're better off to sell it. Imagine having to have yoga classes. Some that sewed and done this and that and the other, they was in another room. Some that made this, they was in another room, and they was in another room in order to supplement the church's income to keep the doors open. Why? They're losing members. They're dead. This one was a Methodist church, but that's not the only ones that's doing it. Remember when the prophet saw it? Methodist pastor. Pastor laying on top of a corpse making love to her. They have no power to give their people life. So what they got to do? They have hot dog suppers and Starbucks and all kinds of things in order to draw people. Look, friends, I'm not against you playing basketball, but basketball is not what this is all about. Soccer and football and this and that and other, that ain't what it's all about. It's about us getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Giving our children the right to be able to be born again, to know God. Oh, Lord, what a pitiful representation of to be called the church of the living God
May God help us. May God help us. Not only to keep our doors open so much, but keep our doors open to the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Amen. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise God. A song to the sons of Korah. A song to Alamos. God is my refuge and a present help in the time of need and trouble. Praise God. Oh, Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your mercy, for your blessings. While living in this dark world, you give us such encouraging hopes and promises of what lays ahead for us, Father. This is not a story from Walt Disney. Oh God, this is not something from ancient cultures of the Greeks or the gods of the Ninevites. This is from the living God. Lord, we know this Bible was written over a period of 1,600 years. Penned by over 40 different authors. Written on different continents of the earth. Many of them never even knew one another. And some of their prophecies are so identical that people even accuse some of them of being plagiarists. Because they said word for word, years and years apart, miles and miles apart. This is your book, Father. We thank you for it, Lord. Oh, we know people don't love it no more. They don't want it. They've replaced it with all kinds of books. But we still love your word, Father. We love your message. We thank you for sending us God's prophet. But Father, we know you never sent him to do away with our Bibles. We still love our Bibles. As a matter of fact, I love my Bible now more than I've ever loved it. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, help us, I pray. We love you, dear God. Don't let there be a one of us missing at that great time, Father. Lord, may we as the people of God now be called children of truth, so our residence will be in the city of truth. O Lamb of God, hasten the day when we can be changed, Heavenly Father, and leave this world. Lord, whatever it is that's holding us here, maybe it's a little boy, a little girl over in China, in Japan, maybe in Ethiopia, could be one right here in this building tonight. We don't know where they are, but oh Father, would you bring them in? Lord, the old timers used to sing the song, "Wait a little longer, please, Jesus." We don't sing that around here, Lord. We're not saying, "Wait a little longer." We're saying, "Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, and take us away." Oh, we know there's people in our own ranks that don't even believe you're coming no more. That don't change us at all. Amen. We're still looking for the appearing of our Lord Jesus to catch his bride away. Thank you, Father. Thank you for men of God that are still telling us the truth. No matter how old the story seems, that's what believers believe.
Amen.
We love you, Jesus. We thank you, your kingdom has already dawned in our hearts under the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Heavenly Father. As Pentecost was the beginning of the last days, the last 2,000 years, even so the millennium will be the beginning of the merging of the invisible and the invisible together. As Pentecost was the beginning of the last two measures by which you would reveal yourself through grace, even so the beginning of the millennium, the dawn of the seventh morning. Praise God. When we will step out on the earth, Lord, everything will be beautiful. The sky will be blue that we've never known it. The azure blue that we see now will not be able to touch it. The green in the trees, the pinks, the reds, the purples, the violets, and the flowers. Oh God, they will be so brilliant and beautiful. Hallelujah. The animals, O Lord, not one bee to sting us, not one wasp with a stinger, not one bumblebee, not one honeybee to sting, not one snake to bite, not one human that'll ever say a harsh word to another. Praise be to God. Lord, I know it seems impossible. That's why only you could do it. Scientist, psychiatrist, sociologist, no matter who would ever look to, they could never produce such a paradise. Only you can do it, and you will maintain it by your power for 1,000 years. And you'll be dealing with millions of unconverted people as well as glorified. Only God could do such a thing. Praise God. Lord, we're going to go ahead and worship you tonight for the millennium, because the cycle is done, set in motion. We don't see it yet. No, they're still under this curse of the devil. But Father, we're going to praise you right now for the millennium that is to come. We're going to go ahead and love you right now and have expectation. Who knows? Some people might go home tonight, might even dream about it. It'll become so real to their subconscious. Lord, we're going to go ahead and praise you for it. The millennium is coming. The dawn of the seventh morning, it's coming. We can't go on much longer like this, Lord. This earth is getting unfitted, more unfitted every day that we're here, Lord, a place for us to live. We don't belong here no more, Father. Oh, Lord Jesus, we worship you, blessed God. We worship your name tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Can we raise our hands, saints? Oh, let's not wait till we get there at the rapture. Let's not wait till we get there to the marriage supper. Let's not wait till we get to the millennium to praise our God. Let's praise him right now. By eyes of faith, prophecy can look at the roots in the ground and say a seed of David will come. We can look by eyes of faith at the seeds of the promise of the millennium and say it's as good as happened already by faith. It's in the cycle of God's word. Nothing will stop it. The rapture will come. The wedding supper will come. The rapture, amen, will lead right up to that. And both of them will lead right into the millennium. Praise God. The earth will be recreated again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise God. Sing something for us, Harry. Let's just worship the Lord a little before we go, can we? Oh, don't you love him tonight, children? Don't you just love him with all your heart? Don't you want to go to that blessed land? Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Father. We bless your name, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord God, help us tonight. Lord, if there's one that's discouraged, one that's sick in their body, Father, one that needs strength for the journey, may you come and minister to them tonight, I pray, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Let's worship him together, saints.
just a few more days to labor, then this bride will take our rapture.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going home. I'm going soon. I'm going where I belong. I don't know about you, I need the help of the Lord. The more I study this stuff and the more I look at it, the harder it is for me to face this place out here. I know we got to. I know we got to plant our taters. We got to build church. We got to, you know, witness. We got to work. Well, we got to occupy till he comes. I understand that. But knowing what lays in front of us, praise God. Knowing that, think of it, 3.5 years from today could be the first day of the millennium. Once the bride is gone, the cycle of events will happen so fast, only 3.5 years left upon the earth. Think of it, 3.5 years from today could be the first day of the millennium. And in a second from now, you could be in the sixth dimension. So either way, you're going to win.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Let's sing it together. I'm going home. I'm going soon. I'm going where I belong. Praise God. You see, I've always been, even since I was a child, stranger here. But now I'm going home. Chorus again, everybody. I'm going home. I'm going soon. I'm going. Jesus, I've always Praise the Lord God. Praise the Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Brother West, would you come and dismiss us? God bless you, saints. See you in the morning. Lord, buddy.
Father, long before you ever made time, each one of us gathered together here tonight in your name was in your mind, and one at a time you designed us. You thought of us with tender love and care, and you shaped an image in your mind of who and what we would be, our place in your plan. Lord, it's more than I can grasp. And Lord, that was before time began, and now time soon will end. And we will come to the full realization of that image that you meant for us to be. Lord Jesus, we're just getting to the point where we just can't wait anymore. We're so grateful for the words you're giving us. We're so grateful for how you're revealing these truths to us, Lord. Like Brother Donnie said, it makes it harder to bear this world. It makes it harder to face it each day, but yet it makes it more real that you're coming quickly. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for everything you've done for us, Lord. It's more than we can grasp. It's more than we can hold on to with our frail minds, Lord, in this world and in these bodies. Lord, I just thank you so much. Lord, please bring us back together again safely in the morning so you can speak your heart to us one more time. Lord, we'll be pulling. We'll be ready. We'll come prepared, ready to worship, ready to listen, ready to wait for what you have to say for us, Father. We just wish that we could bless you more. We wish we could worship you more. We could love you more, Lord. Deliver us from these bodies, Lord, so that we can give you what you deserve for once. Lord, we love you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you, saints.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I wish it's 11 o'clock tomorrow morning right now. Don't you? I hate to leave this. I know this, though. If you're sad here, you're fixing to be happy. Everybody's going to be happy over there. Let's sing a little bit of that as we get ready to leave tonight. Hadn't it been good to be in church? Did you enjoy the word of the Lord? There's a happy land of promise. Sing it from your soul. Over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon the glory share. Hallelujah. And live on forever, evermore. Everybody will be happy over there.
And there we'll meet the one who saved us and who kept us
by his amazing grace,
and who's brought us to that land. Everybody will.
somebody praying, and there won't be no mourning in that land. And no burdens there will be for us to bear.
And all the people will be singing, singing well. Glory, 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 to, glory that land.
To the Lamb.
Everybody,
everybody
will be
everybody
happy. Everybody.